Telephone Bedford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 617-627-3800 is the telephone number. 617-627-3800. You're going to want to call in. We're going to be talking about the departure, the high-speed departure of Grand Prix of Boston.
Yeah.
Later in the show.
This is why we cannot have nice things, folks.
We can have all kinds of nice things. We just can't have...
Just not in the city of Boston.
Stupid Grand Prix Formula One racing in the Seaport District.
I changed my tune. I was all about it. I was all about it. Go watch your racing. Come visit me at work. Would have been a good day.
I don't know why you would be interested in that. I honestly don't know why you would be interested in that at all.
We'll get into that later in the show.
Yeah. So we'll be talking about that later, plus our favorite things from the past week, the strangest stories from the past week, rain, more rain.
And rain.
The Donald Trump fallout. It's...
I know.
Slow news week.
Some weeks we just have nothing to talk about. This week it's not one of those.
Yeah, slow news week. So, you know, let's see if we can limp through some news and maybe something valuable happened. I don't know.
Well, today in local news we learned sometimes you need to look at the driving records. City of Boston regulators renewed the sightseeing license of a duck boat driver just 6 weeks before he was involved in a fatal crash last weekend, saying he was still eligible because of his extensive record of violations, includes only 2 speeding tickets in the past 3 years. Victor Trevarez, the Boston duck boat driver involved in the crash on Saturday, had been cited for speeding 10 times since 1994, along with a host of other driving infractions records show. But under state guidelines, Trevarez remained eligible to drive the popular vehicles because he had not reached the threshold that would disqualify him, which is 4 traffic offenses in the last 3 years, according to Boston PD. The Boston Police Hackney Unit approved his renewal application March 15th. As police continue to investigate the crash, new details shed light on how Trevarez was certified to ferry tourists around the city in duck boats, which critics have largely said blind spots are the cause of serious crashes and a public safety risk. Authorities have not provided details about the collision between duck boat and a scooter at the intersection of Charles and Beacon Street. The scooter was crushed under the driver's front wheel, killing 24-year-old Allison Warmoth, and 32-year-old passenger was not seriously injured. Now, I know what Derek's going to say instantly. What does 10 speeding violations in, 22 years have to do with the killing of one single person? I don't think that is the story here. The biggest story that you need to look at is that you have a repeat offender of traffic violations. Maybe if you go once, twice, get a speeding ticket, you learn your lesson.
But we're talking 10 offenses over 14 years, 13 years?
Even if we're looking at 20. So that's one every 2 years.
Yeah.
But I'm not just...
That's about average for drivers around here.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
I've been driving for that long and I have not... I've been driving for 15 years? How many speeding tickets do I have? 0.
That's because you drive like an old lady.
No, I do not.
Normal people who are driving to live on the streets of the Commonwealth.
No, that is not, you cannot say that. That is not common. That is absolutely not common.
I can absolutely say that. I used to get speeding tickets like every 6 months.
So would I trust you driving my family around or driving people of Boston, tourists, on a duck boat? No, absolutely not.
He didn't hurt anyone on the duck boat. There is an issue with the blind spot in the duck boats. But listen, if you've got a problem here, you got a problem with the City Hackney Commission, which is renewing the guy's license and saying this is okay.
And that is what I'm saying. Did the accident that happened on Saturday that took the life of one victim happen because of speeding? No. If you drive down the streets of Boston and you're next to a duck boat, more than likely, they're not going over 10 miles an hour.
Yeah.
They drive through the worst times. We actually have a mutual friend that does drive for them and says that's the worst part of his job is sitting in traffic. I'm not saying speeding. We need to look at what qualifies you to drive this. When you have 10 violations for speeding, you are a chronic speeder.
Can I be honest?
That's a cause for concern.
Be honest with you?
You now have disregard for any rules of the road.
No, that's not true.
Andrew. No, it absolutely is.
That's a giant leap.
No, it's not.
You can't speed in a duck boat if you want to because they don't go that fast. He may be a guy who every weekend gets behind the wheel of his Audi and starts ripping it up on the countryside. There are plenty of people who do that.
Is that right?
Whether it's right.
But it's not.
As far as the Hackney Commission is concerned,
it's fine.
The reason
why we have... And am I one to say that? No, I stay under the speed limit every single day of my life. No, that would be a complete lie. But I don't go. If you look at half of these were very large fines. Large fines mean significantly over the traffic.
The 55 mile an hour speed limit is a joke.
So what does that mean? You're going 95?
I've been known to do that.
You do that every day?
Given the opportunity, Derek, I probably would.
Yeah. Wouldn't you?
How many
speeding tickets do you have? Please explain that to
me. When I had a commute that allowed me to go that fast, especially when I was taking Route 2 home to Alston every night, yeah, I'd be doing 85, 90 on Route 2. And yeah, I got speeding tickets on Route 2.
How many speeding tickets have you had?
I haven't had a speeding ticket in a few years.
Do you think in your entire drive?
Good God, over a dozen. Easily.
You speed.
Yes.
Should you be qualified to drive a duck boat? No.
Yes.
No.
Because there's a difference between what I'm doing when I'm commuting and what I'm doing when I have other people in the car.
But it doesn't mean that it's right.
They're too...
It's black and white, Derek.
No, it's not black and white.
You either follow the rules of the road or you don't.
No. These are mutually exclusive.
Personally,
I don't know why you
personally,
believe...
Personally, Derek, if I learned...
I don't know...
If maybe after the third, fourth... fifth time, I got a $250, $300 speeding violation, I would maybe learn my lesson and think about how I was driving on the road, not only just for the safety of myself, but the other people on the road.
If he had been speeding and out of control at the time that this accident happened, maybe you'd have an argument, Lisa. Maybe. He was stopped at a red light.
I am completely putting aside...
And you're not going to do a jackrabbit start in a duck boat because they don't accelerate that fast. Something
happened.
But again,
I'm putting aside the situation.
Something happened with the scooter. We don't know what happened with the scooter, that she could not get it moving. And once that thing starts moving, it's not going to stop. That's the other problem with it. They don't like to stop.
But I also agree with that. I see it every day. I commute through Boston. Scooters, bikers, they have no kind of conception of anybody else in a large vehicle, including a duck boat, and kind of are just all over the place.
I don't know that anyone is necessarily at fault here. I don't know that anyone is necessarily at fault here and that this isn't anything more than a tragic accident.
Which it absolutely is.
Where the scooter
slipped.
But
the thing about this story, it sheds light on the practices, on the requirements, what qualifies you to drive these vehicles.
Let me tell you something.
I have a problem.
If you said anybody with a speeding ticket can't drive a commercial vehicle in the city of Boston...
There is a difference
There would between, be no CDLs. No one would have one.
There is a large difference, Derek, between one, two, three speeding tickets in
Over
your lifetime.
Over what period of time?
That I understand.
You're talking about offenses going back 13 years. 13 years. This guy has worked for Boston Duck Tours for 6 years, I believe.
But also, we're not talking just about speeding tickets. There were numerous violations.
Misuse of a motor vehicle, whatever the heck that is.
He's not a good driver. Hands down. I mean, you can look at a rap sheet and go, you know what? This probably isn't the person that should be driving, that should be under our insurance a vehicle.
You know what not a good driver is to me? Somebody who's getting a speeding ticket every week.
That's insane.
Somebody who's getting one or two speeding tickets a year, that's normal. That's normal.
That is not normal.
That is normal.
I don't know who you hang out with or who you converse with. I don't know a lot of people that are chronic speeders and get tickets. And if they do, they learn their lesson. They're smarter knowing, one, they don't want to pay $500 again, or two, they don't want to have to go to court again and try to fight it. That is a chronic speeder.
Some people just don't care. Some people just say, this is the cost of driving in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. You're going to nail me every time I'm 10 miles over the speed limit. I don't care. Come, pull me over.
So the people that have the I don't care attitude, come pull me over, I'm speeding, they should be driving.
Depending on how
that
they...
That is delusion.
Depending on how they behave
so
on...
So if you print out...
Depending on how they behave on the job, Lisa, and not on their personal time, depending on how they behave on the job, yes, maybe they should be driving. Because I don't see anything in this guy's record.
Somebody's social character is far different from what you do in a professional. But we are talking about a skill of driving.
I don't see anything in this guy's record that is beyond the pale for someone who drives in and out of the city of Boston on a regular basis.
I'm not talking about hiring pizza delivery for Papa John's.
Did the guy have a history?
Yeah, sure. Let's hire the guy with 10 speeding tickets. Who cares? He hasn't gotten one in 2 years.
Did the guy have a history of incidents with Boston Duck Tours? Not that we know of. Not that has come forward. So what you have is local media looking to gin up a story. Oh my God, look at his driving record. Yeah, what, the guy's got 10 speeding tickets? Big yips.
No, a logic person would look at that and say, that shouldn't be somebody that should be driving.
Go ask any truck driver going up and down the Mass Turnpike every single day how many tickets they have. It is the cost of doing business. The tickets.
That is far different. These are people, I mean, you're now saying truck drivers who do this all day, every day. Their job is to get from one end of the country to the other end of the country. The chance of them getting pulled over for speeding is at a higher, way higher rate than an average person
driving
a car getting home.
No, not at all. Depends on where you live. Really depends on where you live. If you have to drive down, what is it, Route 1?
I knew you would defend this, but this is insane.
It's not insane. You're insane.
No,
You're insane.
So if you print out this man's rap sheet or every single driver's driving record right on top of the duck boat, you think maybe people would question getting aboard?
Why would you need to do that? The Boston Hackney Service has already said, the Hackney Department has said, he is within our guidelines. They clearly know a thing or two about this because they're the ones in charge of it. If you have a problem...
Unless they have the attitude of everybody speeds, so we need to cut down the requirements
These are the guys...
How much do we cut down the requirements before safety is involved?
These are the guys that regulate every livery in the city of Boston, every cab in the city of Boston, every commercial vehicle that operates in the city of Boston.
Not going to get into the Hackney, but...
Clearly, they have a set of guidelines, and that set of guidelines works. Some kind of a freak unfortunate accident that may or may not be the driver's fault, we don't know, took place on Saturday. And it's tragic what happened. But rolling out the guy's driving record and saying, look, 10 citations in 13 years. Give me a break.
That is so incredibly typical
of
local media to do that. But it does shed light on... What are the practices?
What does it shed? It sheds light on the Hackney Department standards.
That is hired as a driver.
Prove that he's a chronic speeder.
I would consider 10 speeding tickets a chronic speeder.
But you don't know anything about the circumstances of those speeding tickets. This is just someone waving a piece of paper around saying speeding tickets.
Yeah, but a logical person can look at it and say the higher the fine, the more that the person was speeding over the limit.
Not necessarily.
No, absolutely.
Could have been doing 55 in a construction zone where the fines are doubled and it's after hours and there's nobody there.
What is the chance of that?
Very high in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
I'm going to say 95% of the people that I know that have gotten $500 plus speeding tickets are typically over 20 miles to 30 miles per hour over the speed limit.
I'd say that's a reasonable...
Unlikely, Derek. This man just on his commute home, just wanted to get home a little bit quicker and was going 60 in a 55. Highly unlikely.
You don't know. You don't know.
Very highly unlikely.
You don't know. Do you know?
Do you know that it wasn't?
I don't know that it wasn't, which is why I'm not saying that's what it was, because that's what a logical person does. A logical person does not let their emotion override their judgment
when they look at something like this. It's looking at something that's very black and white.
There's nothing black and white.
No, it is.
There's nothing black and white about this. The only thing that's black and white about this is that the Boston Hackney Commission
should change your standards.
Says this guy's okay to drive. And if they say he's good enough to drive, that's good enough for me. Because they know more about what's going on out there than I do.
Well, you know what? Then it's not good enough for me.
Well, then go argue with the Hackney Commission. But you'd better have better evidence than, oh my God, the guy has 10 tickets in 13 years.
But this is just a start. Could there be more? No,
there's no more because that's the registry list. The registry list is absolute. Nobody's burying tickets for this guy. And he's not driving duck boats into storefronts, and he's not mowing down pedestrians. We don't know anything about his record while he was working for Boston Duck Tours. You hate the duck boats. Just admit, you hate the duck boats. You don't think they should be in the city.
Honestly, I can't hate the duck boats. I've never been on one.
Yeah, but you see them,
and I've lived in
you
Boston
see them, and they make you angry, and you want them to go away.
They do not.
And you're going to pillory this guy the same way the Boston Herald does. I expect more. I expect much more.
And I give you more.
In national news, if I can find this over here, the race for Republican presidential nomination is over. After Donald Trump won Indiana with 53.3% of the vote, his two remaining opponents, Texas Senator Ted Cruz and Ohio Governor John Kasich, both exited the race, giving Trump a clear path to the remaining delegates needed to win nomination on the first ballot at the Republican National Convention this summer. Both Kasich and Cruz were mathematically eliminated from getting the delegates needed, but both had hoped to prevail at a contested convention. Bernie Sanders won Indiana for the Democrats, but proportional delegate allocation leaves Hillary Clinton just 141 shy of the number needed to clinch her party's nomination.
What is so interesting, and I've said this before, I mean, you've maintained that you believe Donald Trump was going to get the nomination.
Yes.
From the start.
Yes.
And as I've been saying, and if you've been listening to our show, I believed that it would go into a contested convention. We would now have Donald Trump with the most amount of delegates, but not reaching that 1260. Also, on the Democratic side, I said, we have a clear winner here. In the past 24 hours, what has happened? A complete switch into what most people thought. I mean, this, you could never even have predicted this. Is it more than likely that Hillary Clinton is going to get the nomination? Yes. Is there a very, very slight chance? You know, my prayers will be answered. She will be indicted. Could be. You don't know.
Here's where this gets interesting. Charlie Baker came out today, governor of Massachusetts, Republican governor of Massachusetts, and said he will not vote for Donald Trump. Which means the Republican governor of Massachusetts said he's going to vote for Hillary Clinton today. Way to show leadership of your party, Governor Baker, because there's no other candidate that you can vote for. So you are either going to vote for Hillary Clinton or you are not going to vote at all. Neither one of those are very becoming of a governor. And as your mother should have told you, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all.
No, you hear that rhetoric kind of going around and everybody commenting and saying, you know, I'm a Republican, but if Trump gets a nomination, I'm just not voting because I'm not going to vote for Hillary. We have the right to vote.
So we have this poll that came out that they're talking about today that was actually taken before Donald Trump won Indiana and Kasich and Cruz dropped out. That showed Hillary Clinton winning 53% to 41% nationally. That's old news. And they're trumping it up and they're trying to say, oh, look, Hillary's going to beat. No, that poll is meaningless now because that poll was taken under a different set of circumstances. The next poll is the one that matters because if a poll comes out that shows Donald Trump at or near Hillary Clinton, you may start to see some movement toward Bernie Sanders. Hillary Clinton only has a 321, excuse me, no, fewer than that. Most of Hillary Clinton's delegates are superdelegates.
Mm-hmm.
And if the calculus looks more favorable to Bernie Sanders, those superdelegates could flip. So the question now becomes, who is more likely to beat Donald Trump?
Because essentially that's what we're in now. We're not facing anybody in our own team.
And with California still in play and some other big states still in play, this could be the moment that Bernie Sanders has been waiting for. Bernie, by the way, won Indiana. So he's got that momentum on his side. So it's now soul-searching time for the Democrats to say, can we beat Trump with Hillary Clinton?
Mm-hmm.
And you better believe they're going to be polling like mad in the next week to try and figure out whether or not they need to jump on board the Sanders train.
Now you say in these new polls, if it is close, or Donald Trump becomes close or next to Hillary Clinton. Honestly, I think in the next polls, you're going to see him surpassing her. I think you're going to start seeing flip of those numbers, 53-47, 55-45.
If it looks like Bernie Sanders can win and Hillary might be vulnerable, you will see the Democratic establishment move very quickly behind Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they want more than anything is the win. That's what both parties want. Although the Republicans apparently are willing to throw the White House under the bus because they don't like Donald Trump that much. Nonsense.
You know, I actually thought Kasich would be stepping aside before Ted Cruz. I was shocked that so quickly after the results came back from Indiana last night, he did pull out. I saw one of the funniest memes. Fiorina took her 6 years to ruin a company, but only 6 days to ruin a campaign. Good job. That was short-lived.
Load up on that Cruz Fiorina merchandise while
you
can.
It's going to be worth something.
Because that, well, the shortest vice presidential campaign in U.S. history.
Yeah. When the RNC chair came out yesterday calling Trump, who for so long had maintained the stance of, I can't get on board. I can't get on board the Trump train. I just can't do it. If that means we're having a separation amongst our party, so be it. Now we're looking at the chairperson of the RNC. That's not the kind of leadership that you want.
No.
He comes out yesterday, Rince Priebus, saying he's a presumptive winner. It was done from there for Kasich. There was mathematically no way that it could be done.
But Kasich has also been very cagey in everything that he's done.
Which is so strange because I kind of step on this line of, is he delusional or is he so incredibly intelligent in how he is placing himself strategically?
He's Machiavellian, that John Kasich. He's a plotter.
Which was really interesting because his camp did come out today and say, you know, he pulled back and is dropping out because his heart wasn't in it. How can you say a man's heart is not in this race when every single move that he has made has been deliberate and very strategic?
That was the wrong message from that campaign, by the way. That absolutely the wrong message is that my heart's not in it. No,
yeah.
You don't say that at this point.
I understand that they were probably going for the sympathetic vote or feeling for it, but rumors been circling. Possible VP for Trump?
I would imagine that there was a phone call made at some point. If you want consideration for this ticket, you will get out of this race right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Kasich did the math and said, I will get out of this race right now.
I believe if you have a Kasich VP, I think it's over.
Kasich Trump wins Ohio.
Oh, absolutely.
Without question, and wins Ohio.
You need, if we're going in the general election, you need the support from Ohio.
But now here's where it gets interesting. Kasich Trump could win Massachusetts.
Kasich had very, very high numbers in Massachusetts. He surpassed Ted Cruz.
And could win New York. So now you're starting to rewrite the political map a little bit.
Look at the numbers that Kasich had in Manhattan. Shocking.
Yeah. I don't think it matters who Hillary Clinton picks as a VP because it's ultimately all about her. Nobody cares. And people don't vote.
Well, Patrick, Elizabeth,
yeah,
Warren.
Well,
I just, yeah.
As long as it's not somebody like that.
Just a visceral
reaction. It may wind up being Elizabeth Warren, which would be interesting. I think Trump would be better served by choosing a minority or choosing a woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, Elizabeth Warren actually took to Twitter last night about Donald Trump, and Scott Brown actually accused her of drunk tweeting, which was very, very amusing to
hear.
That would
assume that she gets drunk, which would assume that in any way, shape, or
Tough
form,
of that Indian
Elizabeth Warren is fun, and no, I'm not buying that, not for a second.
This is incredibly interesting where we're going into Kentucky, West Virginia. We have California left, a couple more states on the West Coast. I already think we have it locked.
West Virginia, no one cares.
It's
a tiny little state. That's going to be Sanders and Trump all the way, West Virginia. In world news, more than 80,000 people fled for their lives from Fort McMurray, a Canadian city in northern Alberta province, after a wildfire sprang from nowhere and began consuming the city. A dry spring and unusually warm temperatures around 90 degrees have turned Canada's plains into a tinderbox, allowing the Fort McMurray fire to devour 7,400 acres, including almost all of Fort McMurray's Beacon Hill neighborhood. Temperatures are expected to drop into the 60s tomorrow, which may allow firefighters to gain control over the blaze. To put this in perspective, this would be the equivalent of evacuating Worcester.
Which is insane.
Yeah. Like, just imagine Worcester has to be evacuated because it's going to burn down.
Mm-hmm.
And this fire just...
Is it the same population and density size? I mean...
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. If you've seen the Dawn of the Dead remake that came out, yeah, I think it's around 10 years ago now, there's an overhead shot very early on that shows this sort of, you know, planned development community. That's pretty much what Fort McMurray is. It is miles upon miles of developments. So everybody's got their own house, and there's pools in the backyards, and kind of like what parts of California look like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all going up in flames because it is so dry up there. They had a drier than usual winter. They've had a warmer than usual spring, and hot winds blowing. Conditions were perfect.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at the winter we had here.
This fire.
We didn't even have a winter.
This fire started on Sunday. They don't know how it started and just all of a sudden jumped the highway and was in Fort McMurray's backyard.
Is there a large cause for concern over the next 24 hours, say? I mean, are they going to continue to evacuate around the area?
They've already got everyone out of Fort McMurray. They think they're going to get it under control. It's not that 7,400 acres.
Logistically, how do they do it?
You build a wall around the fire to contain it and then attack it with water from above. And you basically try and corner it so that it burns up all the fuel it has in one place and has nowhere else to go.
Essentially, when we were talking about the... situation that was happening in Oregon with the farmers, and they would talk about that. They would set fires to their own land just to kind of keep this all together.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a little bit easier to deal with in the Canadian plains because you're not dealing with mountains all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
The same way when they get the fires out in California, those fires are all up in the hills. And there's no fire hydrants. There's no way to get anything up there other than with helicopters
dropping
and small aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
So those are very difficult to fight. Here, you've got generally flat area. You have infrastructure. You actually have fire hydrants and ways to get water to the fire. So they should be able to get it under control. The question is whether any bit of Fort McMurray will be left when this is done.
I was going to say, is there any estimate on cost or destruction?
None yet. So...
And they have called a state of emergency?
Fort McMurray, they have. The rest of Canada, I don't know what they're doing with all of the people. Because, I mean, 80,000 people, that's a lot of
not
people.
Not the easiest, yeah.
And it's not like there is a lot in that part of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just move them to the next town over where you have hotels all over the place. They don't have... It's not completely rural. You know, it's a lot like... You get into upstate, or it's a lot like southern New Hampshire, actually, where, yes, there's communities around, but really nothing that's built to absorb 80,000 people. I guess you could have them all go live in the hockey stadiums, because I don't think there's any Canadian teams in the...
Yeah, no.
There's no Canadian teams in the Stanley Cup this year. Yeah, so we can send them to Edmonton, and we can send them to Toronto, and then go live in the Rogers Center for a few weeks.
Hang out with the Habs.
But yeah, I mean, the whole city may be erased from the map, and it's sad to see something like that.
Well, in sports news, we learn Africa's only doping testing lab isn't up to its own testing standards. The South African Doping Control Laboratory, Bloemfontein, had become the latest center to be suspended by the World Anti-Doping Agency after centers in Moscow, Beijing, and Lisbon suffered similar punishments last month. The facility has lost its accreditation, which has stopped until September 30th. WADA's decision takes effect immediately and will Oh my God, I can't talk today. Require all samples previously destined for the laboratory to be transported to another accredited laboratory. A statement announcing the decision said, quote, during the period of suspension, the laboratory shall address all nonconformities identified in an external quality assessment scheme program and another all nonconformities identified by the course of the WADA site visits during suspension period. The center has 21 days to appeal WADA's decision in the Court of Arbitration of Sport. Now, this basically leaves zero laboratories open in Africa. So this is where all of many African nations, whether we're talking about Ethiopia, Kenya, their racers, use these laboratories for testing.
So in theory, if there are no operating laboratories, WADA may come back and say all of Africa is banned from Olympic competition.
There's the big question that's going on right now. No story, or we don't know any information that's coming out in saying why the laboratory was suspended. But we know that it's, quote unquote, not up to standards.
Because WADA is trying to protect its athletes from Zika.
Yeah.
And an open-air sewer masquerading as a bay.
We are now left with 31 WADA-accredited laboratories around the world. Many of these countries don't have the funds to be sending them out. Also, we are on the heels of the Olympics coming up. What do we... Last week, we were 100 days out. Now we're, you know, just under that. Will these... Could you say that any of these tests could be false or not?
It's a good question. It's a good question. But we're rapidly running out of countries.
Are they legit?
We're rapidly running out of countries that can even participate in the Olympics. And 21 days is going to put you very close to... I mean, we're going to be about 75 days away from the Olympics at that point. So
now we're in a situation where all of these tests that were previously gone to this certain location in Africa now all have to be retested, sent to another accredited laboratory. Is that even going to be in time for the Olympics?
How do you put a national team together if you don't know who's eligible and who's not?
Are we not going to have any South African, you know, Ethiopian, Kenya runners in the Olympics? That's crazy.
I would imagine South Africa itself is not going to face a problem with this, but every other African nation that is not flush with cash the way that South Africa is going to have a problem. So the Kenyans are affected, the Ethiopians are affected, the Namibians and the people from Senegal, Congo, all those countries are now going to be sitting there saying, can we participate or not?
Well, I mean, you know, the nice thing about news coming out of Rio, we haven't had any, you know, bike lanes fall apart into the ocean. We haven't seen, but we're still, you know, a lot of information is continually coming out about Zika, and it is a serious problem. Many of these athletes are not going. So whether we're talking about doping or we're talking about just cause for health concerns, this isn't a complete mess.
I'm thinking there.
So it's just another thing that's added to it of saying, should this even continue? Should we have the Rio Olympics?
Not in Brazil, where they have the Zika and Guanabara Bay, also known as Guanabara Sewage Treatment Facility. No, we shouldn't have it there. I'm thinking there may not be any Olympics this year.
You think it really?
I'm thinking if... Here's the math that you have to do on this. At what point does it stop being an Olympics? How many countries need to not, and athletes need to not show up before it's not legitimate anymore? We still don't know if the Russians are going to be allowed to participate.
All of them, yeah.
And that would raise a huge red flag for the validity of the Olympics by itself. Now you're saying, well, all these African nations, maybe they can't go.
Well, these other three laboratories that had become discredited, whether it was in, like I said, Beijing, Lisbon. My question is also, where did those testing go? Did they have to get redone for these athletes to go?
I assume the answer is yes. But typically, what they've done in the past is they've just let the athletes compete and then take their titles away when they test the samples later and find out they were doping. So...
The first laboratory that you used wasn't really functioning properly.
That may be where WADA is going with this, although there is still the Russian ban to consider. and what's going to happen with that.
But they also keep going up and down on it. Maria Sharapova, that just got overturned, and they are now saying that that drug that she took for, what was it, 13, 14 years, it's okay.
Which isn't meant to be taken for 13 or 14 years, so she was...
Yeah, it gives you a little bit of an edge on the court.
Yeah.
What point do you get to where you're like, half of these athletes aren't really...
In the case of...
And you said it perfectly, though, last week when you were talking about, you know, all of the bikers and the cyclists have motors on their wheels.
Moto doping. Plenty of that going on. Yeah. I have suggested in the past, and I do tend to believe, that there is a lot of scrutiny being placed on Russian athletes right now for the exact purpose of embarrassing Vladimir Putin. That this is one way for the global community to make their displeasure with the annexation of Crimea known, is we're going to come after you, and we're going to come after your athletes because we know that's a big deal in Russia. We know you take your sport seriously. So guess what? No more Maria Sharapova, no more Russian track and field.
Well, for the past year, that's all we've been hearing about. Yeah. Every single week, it's a new thing that's coming out with the Russian athletes, whether it be in tennis,
now
running.
All of a sudden, it's the African athletes. Mm-hmm. Can we just accept that every athlete is doping? Every athlete cheats. There may be some honest ones out there, and I'm sorry if you feel offended that I'm saying this, but all of the evidence that we're getting from the media is that everyone is finding some way of cheating. The people who are supposed to be testing this can't do the job or are corrupt and are letting bad tests go the other way if you make enough money, which you don't if you're a U.S. women's national team soccer player, because you get a lower per diem than the guys for reasons that nobody is able to explain. You can't eat the beef in Mexico or China because it's full of banned substances in the NFL. We're going to get into something else in the technology story in a minute. You just stop. Let everybody... People want to dope their minds out, let them dope their minds out. Let them run faster, jump higher, and get angrier than any athletes the human race has ever seen. At the very least, it will be entertaining, and that's what we tune in for. Nobody tunes in to watch the integrity of sport. We're all tuning in to see people break records, flip out.
Well, especially if we're talking about the Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean, this is when you showcase your best athletes from across the globe. Well, now we're down to about a quarter of the amount, whether it be from not wanting to go for contracting Zika because you want to have a baby, or, doping. Yeah.
This Zika thing could put an end to the Olympics by itself as we learn more and more about it.
I am, you know what, if it does go through, I am so curious to see the numbers that actually people tune in for, because we already know they came out and said less than half of the tickets are sold.
Yeah.
I mean, we have, 10% of the tickets sold for the Paralympics. You're going to see screens. I mean, unless they're hiring people, but they can't because they have no money whatsoever in Brazil. You're going to have stands in stadiums with nobody in them.
America already doesn't give a hoot about the Summer Olympics. The only things that we care about are, and by the way, you could move this into Boston without building stadiums and have this work. The only things that we really care about are beach volleyball, which we could do in the public garden. I think that was part of the plan for Boston 2024. We care about the beach volleyball. We care about gymnastics because we like watching girls in leotards.
Oh my God.
Roll around.
You're such a creep.
No, because it's the women's gymnastics. That's what gets watched in this country. Men's gymnastics, like, you can't give it away. But Americans will watch little girls, like, flipping around on balance beams all day
but
long.
But I think, you know, gymnastics is one of those sports like ice skating. And, you know, that you always have that darling that you're going to get for. So it's marketable. So advertisers love it. People tune in. Who's the next big thing that my daughter can watch and try to be like.
Can I tell you, I know the parents watch it for that. I know that women watch figure skating for the artistry. You know why men watch figure skating? Is to watch people fall down. Nobody falls down, it's not interesting. We love seeing them wipe out. We love seeing them go on their butts. That's why we're watching the figure skating. The only other thing we care about is the basketball. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Gymnastics, beach volleyball, and basketball. That's all we want. So move that up to Boston. We'll do it at Nickerson Field in the Fleet Center. and we can have a Summer Olympics. Everybody can come in here. Marty Walsh can be happy. It won't cost the city $12 billion. We'll save the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to go do track
and... You can get Petrobus.
Yeah. If you want to go...
Brazil.
You want to go have track and field, like, see if something's left over in London. You know?
Yeah.
The one event that I like to watch is never on. And it drives me nuts.
Which one's that?
The one event that I really like to watch...
Shot put.
The Summer Olympics? No. No. Shot put is, like, giant people throwing cannonballs. I'm like, that has no relevance to my life at all. No, the one
High
event...
High jump.
No. No, pole vaulting can be interesting, but no, not the high jump. I will watch the high jump if it's on, though, because it's interesting to see how high people can get.
Mm-hmm.
They used to do it in the X Games with motorcycles, and that was fun, too. Whitewater canoeing. I love that.
It's hardcore.
Because they actually build a track for whitewater that is ridiculously demanding, and you watch these guys... try and navigate this thing. It's a great sport. It's never on TV over here because I'm the only person that likes to watch it.
I actually didn't realize that they have golf in the Olympics.
Golf is a demonstration.
Okay.
At the Olympics this year.
Apparently Brazil has found enough money, though, in their budget to hire, I don't know the proper name of the position, but it's to ward off the crocodiles.
Yes.
Off of the course.
They have a problem with the caiman, which is a cousin of the crocodile hanging around the golf course. And I'm sure...
He's shooing him away.
I'm sure that will be a problem at other Olympic venues
Tiger's
as well.
Tiger's not competing. I'm sure he needs...
I'm sure that these...
Some money to pay off all...
There are pretty high alimony. Odds that the steeplechase will involve water hazards with live caiman in them.
They're going to hire snorkelers, too, to get rid of them.
Yes.
Well, today in food news, we learned why vigorously washing your produce is a good idea. The FBI has arrested a Michigan man for allegedly spraying poisonous mixture of chemicals on food at 3 grocery stores in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The FBI and Michigan Health Department are now looking into whether anyone was seriously ill from a low-scale chemical attack to contaminate food. Authorities believe the unidentified suspect targeted at least 3 grocery stores in the past 2 weeks, Whole Foods, Meijer, and Plum Market. Law enforcement officials are also trying to determine whether he victimized other stores with his toxic mixture of hand cleaner, water, and Tomcat mice poison. That's nice. Mice poison. The suspect has been known possibly to have mental health issues. And so far...
You don't say. Really? The guy spraying hand sanitizer and Tomcat pesticide on the salad bar has mental health issues? Never would have guessed.
But don't worry. No indication of terrorism, sources say. The FBI has released photos of the suspect Sunday and are seeking the public's help in identifying him.
This is a story I did not need to know. This is a story I did not want to hear about.
This is a story that this could actually happen.
That's why I didn't want to know about this. Yeah, this could.
And people are doing this.
Yeah.
Or we know of one example of it.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Derek, when you go home and you're cleaning off your vegetables, how good do you clean them, or fruit?
That's why I don't eat vegetables. It's because I know somebody's... I went to the salad bar for lunch today.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, I got a lot of mouse poison.
That is insane to think about it.
I hope it wasn't the blue cheese crumbles because they're delicious.
That has some thought process going on and saying, I need to harm people. And I am going to do that by creating this concoction and spraying it with like a mini sprayer you get at the dollar store all over... You know, the avocados and tomatoes.
Yeah.
That's incredibly frightening.
You know what's bad about this is, you know who watches this is our friends who don't like us in ISIS.
Yeah, those terrorists.
And Al-Qaeda. And they're
like, we constantly are giving them ideas.
Why are we working for a dirty bomb when we can just go hose down the salad bar at Whole Foods and no one cares?
Yeah, we're worrying about like HMOs and...
No one notices. Just go in and spray the poison on the pomegranates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is terrifying. This is a terrifying story.
Also, when we were talking about the explosion that happened and it was possible ISIS connections with Turkish Airlines and how they inundated inside, like it's something like a TSA baggage loading it up. You could do the same thing here.
Sure.
Whether it be just a transporter of the fruit to, you get hired by the supermarket. It's already cleaned once it goes in. It gets maybe, you know, every 10 minutes. It does that little spritz so it looks fresh and shiny and glistening with the water. That does crap. It doesn't do anything.
Everybody buys apples and just eats them.
Of course.
Everybody buys apples.
I see people all the time, and especially in Whole Foods, because very elitist.
Because it's Whole Foods. It's good for you. This guy, by the way, was at Whole Foods.
People are taking a cherry, taking a grape, yeah, tasting it, seeing if it's ripe enough for their liking.
Yeah.
People do that all the time in the grocery store.
You're not supposed to do that in the grocery store. That's stealing.
Well, Whole Foods, you pay a premium, so yeah. I guess you could use the excuse that
Whole Foods is stealing from you. So
you deserve it.
So that may be just sort of
the only time it's
that
okay
may be reparations
if
you're a Whole
Foods
shopper.
Is asking the deli clerk for a slice of cheese.
Yeah. Which is, they'll give you.
Which is so cute.
They'll give you that all day long. Like, can I try a piece of that ham? Yeah, here you go. They don't care.
Yeah.
They get worked up when you start eating the produce in the store, though.
But it makes you question, and, you know, a lot of concerned citizens, obviously from this area, talking to local media, saying, it makes you think.
That story terrifies me.
Buying fruit, buying vegetables.
That story terrifies me.
I am absolutely 100% guilty of not properly cleaning any sort of produce
sure
that I buy. Absolutely.
And how much do you have to wash it to get the mouse poison?
I know. Well, then you have to question, you know, how long does it take for it to get into the skin and seep into the fruit?
I don't know that it does, because they put that thin coating of wax on all the apples. But if you're getting pears.
Absolutely, that could soak in.
If you're getting pears, it gets in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not a story I needed to know, because I don't need something else to worry about. And that's all that is. In technology news, oats. Yes, oats. Quaker Oats specifically. And PepsiCo, which has been sued in New York and California by consumers who claim the product is not 100% natural, as it claims on its iconic cardboard canister. Laboratory testing revealed traced amounts of glyphosate, a pesticide used in Roundup, that were far below EPA and FDA safety limits, but that didn't stop plaintiffs from suing, claiming that any amount of glyphosate is unnatural. Quaker Oats maintains that they wash all of their oats before packaging, that the package contains nothing but oats, and that any pesticide residue is a result of the growing process. The plaintiffs are seeking class action status for their lawsuit. So here comes Monsanto again with the Roundup.
That's so weird. We haven't talked about them in a while.
And
in a couple weeks.
This, I don't know who was motivated to do this or why they were motivated to do this, but they go out and they hire a lab to test Quaker Oats. Comes a little cardboard tube, as it has for more than a century now.
Mm-hmm. The product is iconic.
Yeah, and you know what's in that tube when you open it up? Oats.
One would think.
There's nothing else in there but oats. It is a cardboard tube of oats. It is a trip back into the days before supermarkets and mass market retail even existed. It is a cardboard tube of oats. It is next to the... It may be the more natural than the produce that is in the supermarket.
The rat poison produce.
Okay. The only thing that would be more natural than a cardboard tube of oats is somebody handing you a bale of wheat when you walk into the supermarket. But no, these people have to go make a lawsuit out of this. So they got a lab to test it. They found pesticide. And it's like 0.04 parts per billion.
But if you did that with any product, more than likely...
Yes.
It's going to be over the 75% mark.
I believe the FDA's limit on the amount of Roundup you can consume in a serving of oats, by the way, is around 5 parts per billion, which is more Roundup than I would like to have in my diet. Really? I don't need that much
basically glyphosate. It equates to how much oats would you actually... But the average person, nobody eats that many oats. I don't even know anybody that actually buys... As you say, this iconic canister of oats.
There is, somebody's buying it because
it's still
in the supermarket.
Yeah.
I mean, every time you walk in this room, yep, there's oats over there.
Maybe just nobody's buying it and it's still there.
They do keep forever. Like, those oats are good, like, 3 years later if you don't open, because it's just a cardboard tube full of oats.
Well, you eat them with milk.
You make oatmeal out of it.
Who doesn't do instant oatmeal anymore?
People who like oats.
All those healthy people.
Yeah. It was America's breakfast for, you know, 100 years
Mr.
Kellogg came along and messed everything up.
And I don't want to say it's fad, but so many people are jumping on the eat clean. And I do. I see it a lot on Instagram and people doing the natural oats.
And this is allegedly what these plaintiffs are trying to do. Because they say, well, you can't call it natural if there's glyphosate in it. The word natural has no meaning whatsoever. It is not defined by the FDA. It is not defined by the Federal Trade Commission. It is not defined by the Department of Agriculture. Mm-hmm. It is not defined by the U.S. government. It is a meaningless word. However, given a choice between Fruit Loops in the unnatural colors that they come in, or any breakfast cereal with multicolored swirled marshmallows, I think we can safely agree that the cardboard tube of oats is more natural than those are.
One would think, yeah.
And oh my God, it's not organically grown. There's a little bit of glyphosate in here. Of course.
But again, Derek, I mean, if you look at so many of these products that state, you know, the claim to being natural or, you know, having all preservatives, they all have them.
Go sue them. Leave the oat people alone. The oat people aren't bothering anyone. The oat people haven't bothered anyone for over 100 years. It's a tube of oats. Let it be. Go sue, like, Grandma Hickenlooper's all-natural, soy-fed cow cakes or whatever the heck it is that you're eating these days. Go sue them because you found there's a lot of anabolic steroid in the cow cakes.
And now your tests are coming back.
Because they got the meat from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Stop bothering the oat people. I don't know.
I don't know that what's against the oats.
It's such an abuse of technology to go in there and say, oh, well, we found a pesticide. Yes, because they use that when they're growing their crops, and then the Quaker people get their hands on it, and they do their best to get all that pesticide off of there, but you know what? A little tiny bit of residue remains. And
people eat things off of the floor.
Everything you... if you eat anything that is grown out of a supermarket, it's probably got... I guarantee you could open up any dry food in this country and find pesticide residue in there.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's how it's made. It's not like the Quaker people are sitting there saying, glyphosate makes it taste better. It's
at
a tube
point,
of oats.
All of your produce, your fruits and vegetables, or anything grown in the ground, more than likely was urinated on.
Kind of like the trash barrel here or the radio station that someone peed in earlier today.
It's actually not funny.
God bless WMFO, my friend.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Now, here's something surprising in the forecast. Rain. Since my who would have thought? Rain,
this
Lisa.
Song.
Rain.
Successfully again.
Wow.
Curses the rest of the week.
Rain. Tonight, rain. The rain ends later tonight, and then the temperature drops into the low 40s. So, I don't know what's worse. Tomorrow, rain. Temperature in the mid-40s during the day, mid-40s at night. It's just not going to... It's going to be the same all day. Friday, a little bit of rain. Partly sunny, at least. High of 56. Temperatures fall back into the mid-40s on Friday night. Saturday, rain. Off and on showers all day long. High of 61.
It's getting up there.
So, a little bit warmer. Sunday, Mother's Day?
Mother's Day, yes.
Rain. And a high of about 60.
So nobody will be sitting on any outdoor patios.
Rain.
Yeah, plan ahead.
Yeah, if you like this weather, you got 4 more days of it to look forward
but
to, your kids.
Next week is looking better. So
yeah,
hopefully
it's not going to rain again until next Wednesday. Yay, because we love rain. It is WMFO Medford. When we come back, did you hear all of the other stories that are making news this week? right after this. And by the way, today, I have to point out, Lisa Nichols, is May the 4th.
Yes.
Lisa's favorite day of the year, because Lisa Nichols, and a lot of our listeners don't know this, is the ultimate Star Wars fan. She cannot get enough Star Wars.
Love it.
She just loves, she's all night long. She's
Nerds
talking about
rejoice.
Princess Leia this and Princess Leia that, and my God,
you
Wookiees.
You can't see it right now, but I have the hair buns in.
Wookiees are awesome, and I wish I were a Jedi.
May the 4th, because Star Wars took it over. It's actually from England when, who was it? The Iron Lady. It was based off of her.
It was Margaret Thatcher's 1979 yes. victory on May the 4th.
And at the end, it was written May the 4th.
There was a full-page ad taken out in I believe it was the London Times, by the Conservative Party congratulating Margaret Thatcher on her win and saying, "May the 4th be with you," which, of course, everyone in 1979 would have recognized as a Star Wars reference, and thus a national holiday for nerds was born by the uncoolest kids in the world. Think about that. And listen very carefully, because there's a little Star Wars surprise in this set of ads and PSAs.
Wholesomeness, quality, convenience, value for your dollar. These are just a few things to consider when you're buying beef for your freezer. Basically, you have three choices. You can buy beef as a side or a quarter, you can buy wholesale cuts, or you can choose retail cuts. And deciding which to buy, you should consider the amount of beef you can store in your freezer, the amount your family can use in a reasonable time, and the kinds of meat your family enjoys. If your family likes steak, for example, it's probably best to buy a large quantity of the kind they like when it's a featured special at your retail store. A side of beef, on the other hand, will give you about one-third steaks, one-third roast, and one-third stew or ground beef. If you want to learn more about buying meat for your freezer, we have some free information. Write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Don't be alarmed. It's only a laser sword fight. Don't be scared. It's only the Death Star destroying another world. Relax. It's only a movie, and it's all for fun. Director George Lucas and 20th Century Fox present Star Wars. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early.